Invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, this is our springboard verses to our thought for these messages. Last week we preached about I Know Thee by Name, and that's the overall title of these messages. And last week we took a look at Lazarus, the call to life. Lazarus, the call to life. This morning we're going to take a look at another character in the scripture. But here in Exodus chapter 3, Moses has been for 40 years there with Jethro, his father-in-law, and keeping his sheep. He's out there doing so and shepherding those sheep. And he sees this sight of this bush that is burning but is not consumed. And in verse number 4, it says in Exodus chapter 3, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, that is Moses, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." We come to Exodus chapter 33, and of course Moses has been involved in pursuing the work that the Lord gave him to do to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage by a mighty hand, a strong arm, and deliverance by the Lord. And there's been some trouble. There's been some disobedience among the children of God there at Horeb, there at Sinai. There's been doubt that has come upon him. They've made a golden calf to worship and all that. And Moses is feeling uneasy. He's got all this multitude that he's to be leading, and he's got uneasiness about it. And so he goes to the Lord. The Lord is determining what he's going to do about these people. And here in Exodus chapter 33, in verse number 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name." And that's a very intimate knowledge that the Lord has. And Moses has declared that, and the Lord evidently has declared it unto him. And we see it back in Exodus chapter 3, where he called unto him, "Hey, you." No, he said, "Moses, Moses." He knew him and knows him by name. It's very personal, this relationship that he has with the Lord. And Moses declares that unto the Lord, "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." And of course, the Lord reveals unto Moses in this passage that he will send his angel with him. And I believe that is the power and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Old Testament time. And Moses is assured and desires to see more of the Lord, which you and I should desire too. Again, last week we took a look at this, "I know thee by name," where the Lord called unto Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." And you know what he did? He did by the power of the Lord, the call to life. This morning, we want to take a look over here in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we want to take a look at this man Zacchaeus and the call of the Lord to abide in Christ. The call of the Lord to abide in Christ. In Zacchaeus, it's a familiar passage and account. It's not a story, and I understand it, how that is used, but understand it's not a story. It's not been made up to help us to understand something. The account of Zacchaeus is not a parable, okay, but it is true. And this man is in glory with our Lord. He's our brother, and he is there with him now. And we teach this to our children. I trust that you know about the account of Exodus or of Moses there in the book of Exodus, as we've touched on. And I trust that you know about the account of Lazarus there in the New Testament scriptures. And I trust you know the account of Zacchaeus in the New Testament scriptures. And we need to know these. This of Zacchaeus is not just for children, but it's for all of us. There's much to be learned and much to be known, but this is the reason for having Sunday school and efforts that are directed at the children, that we might teach them these foundational accounts of these characters in the scriptures, some of them having more character than others, if you understand, but they need to know that. And so And that's part of the reason that we do that. But parents, it falls on you, namely, to teach them about these accounts. And we here in the church and the work of the church try to help out in that. Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man. Yeah, well, let's see what that's all about here this morning. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, which is over to the east of Jerusalem, there around the south side of the Mount of Olives, and going that way through Bethany and Bethpage and on over to the east, a very famous city that's there that the children of Israel engaged and dealt with as they were coming into the land of Canaan. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. You hear those words, and behold. Take a little time here and look at this. Look at it. There was a man there. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Look at Zacchaeus and look at this account for a little while and take yourself and put yourself in this man's sandals and see what the Lord, how the Lord dealt with this man and see how the Lord dealt with this man and the call to abide in Christ that we see here. There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. As we understand it historically, there's three tiers of publicans. There were those that negotiated with Rome for the right to be able to collect taxes in all the lands that Rome occupied and controlled. Then there would be those that would be the leaders there on the ground, and they would have several publicans that would work, or tax collectors, people, men, that would work under them, and they would oversee that work and were responsible for that. Then that third tier of the publicans, the tax collectors, were those fellows that were on the ground. Many of them brutes. Many of them going from door to door or at the time of tax collection, and they would have the people come to them, and they would take and lean on the people to collect the taxes from them. We understand that Zacchaeus is a man that's over publicans. He's a chief amongst them. He's the one that has the right and the responsibility to collect the taxes for the Romans. He's a Jew, we're going to see. And the Jews looked on the publicans as the worst of the worst. Why? They betrayed their nation. They worked for Rome. And understanding the way of collecting taxes was this. That one that was there negotiating with Rome or negotiating with the governors would be one that would buy the right to collect the taxes. Rome knew how much tax she wanted to collect, and she would sell that right under those that were given the authority to collect it themselves. And can you see how that would work? Rome would get her money, and then the tax collectors would for sure get theirs, and then those at that third tier and on the ground level would be tempted very much to be extorters and even take beyond what they were supposed to take. And so you had a situation that just set itself up for abuse very easily. So he's a chief among the publicans there in that region of Jericho, over there east in Israel. And he's a rich man. No surprise. There's not a publican that's not a rich man, most likely, especially one that's a leader of the tax collectors there in that region. And he sought to see Jesus. Hear this, who he was. He seeks to see Jesus. Who is this man? No doubt he's heard about Jesus. He wants to know what Jesus is all about. He's heard about the accounts and maybe has seen the Lord Jesus from a distance, but he's at a point now that he wants to get a closer look at what he was. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. What's he all about, this Jesus character? Was Zacchaeus of a mind to think, wonder if we've been getting our taxes from this Jesus? He very well may have been thinking that. How did he know about Jesus coming? It says here, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. So he's heard that Jesus is coming to Jericho or in through Jericho. There's been a word that's gone forth to where he knows that this Jesus of Nazareth is at hand. And evidently there's a witness of others that has brought this word that Jesus is coming through. He's coming into the town. We know he'll go to where? Where in Jericho? Maybe to the synagogue. That was typical of Jesus in the day of his ministry, to go to the synagogue. In Jerusalem, he would go to the temple. And so there was something that was known about the route that Jesus would take. And this man comes to know that that is the case. But because of the press of the people, the multitude, always following Jesus about, he couldn't get close to him because he was little of stature. He couldn't stay back in the crowd and be able to see and hear Jesus. He needed some other advantage because he was a short fella. He was a short fella indeed. You know what? As we consider this and take this to ourselves, we need to realize that there are indeed hindrances and distractions to seeing and hearing Jesus. You take a look at your own life. Take a look at your own life. Don't worry about right now about anybody else, but take a look at your own life, about the distractions at hand from taking a good look at Jesus. The distractions at hand from following and obeying Jesus. The distractions, the hindrances. You know, sometimes in our lives we do some things, we follow some things, and that's of our own volition. We follow after that, and then it creates other things, doesn't it? That we get bound up and saddled with and strapped with. I tell you what, Satan's work indeed amongst mankind is to take and give fodder and directive for all kind of distraction and all kinds of hindrance from seeing and hearing Jesus. This man's hindrance and hurdle is that of his height. He just can't be able to. He's not tall enough. He needs some help. And he ran before. So this course that Jesus is on, he ran before, verse number 4, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. He wants to see. He knows about the route. He evidently can estimate that that's the case, or it's been told where Jesus is going to go, and it's obvious the route that Jesus would take. All this multitude is around Jesus as he travels into and through the city. And Zacchaeus estimates, I'll get up in that tree. I'll be able to see him. I'll be able to see him, and maybe I'll be able to hear him and know more about what this man is about. For he was to pass that way. This man has a desire to see Jesus. Do you? This man has a desire to hear Jesus. Do you and I? We have a desire for Jesus. This man is compelled to want to see Jesus and find out what he's all about. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, yeah, that tree is there, and this grown man is up in the tree, and that might have not have been an odd thing. It might have been an odd thing for the publican to be up in the tree. How do you think that Zacchaeus is dressed? Do you think Zacchaeus has got his oil changing clothes on or his painting clothes on? I figure he's dressed pretty well, don't you? He's a rich man. There would be no reason to spare the expense on his raiment. Might be odd to see a well-dressed man up in a sycamore tree, huh? But he's up there, and you know what? He doesn't care. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. You know why? Because he wants to see Jesus. And can you imagine as the Lord Jesus is walking by, he comes to that place, and when Jesus came to the place, yeah, right there by the boulevard, right there by the street, right there by that park there in Jericho, in that town, wherever that tree is at, Jesus comes there and stops. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. He said, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come on down, for today I must abide at thy house. Was Zacchaeus expecting that? I dare that he was not. But you know what? The Lord Jesus knew what he was doing from the beginning, didn't he? And that man that had a desire to see Jesus, that man that had a desire to know who Jesus was, isn't that what it says in verse number 3? He sought to see Jesus, who he was. He had a desire towards Jesus. And you know what? Jesus honored that, didn't he? What do you want to know about Jesus? What do you want to know about your need of Jesus? What do you want to know? Do you want to know or care anything about who Jesus is and what he's all about? I tell you what, it does well for everyone in the house to desire so, because the Lord Jesus Christ is who you need. He's not who someone else needs, although we do all need him. But you know what? The greatest consideration, the greatest thing that you have in your life is, what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you do with this man whose name is Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth? What will you do with he who is called Christ? Zacchaeus, make haste. He knows Zacchaeus by name, doesn't he? He does. And I pray that the Lord would call your name. We who are saved, we indeed know that the Lord has called our name, don't we? When the Lord deals with us again, as we saw him dealing with Lazarus and that call to life, our Lord deals with us in particular. And I pray that the Lord will deal with each and every one. We who are saved, the Lord has dealt with us in that way unto salvation. And now he deals with us unto life and living and walking in him and obeying him, doesn't he? Do we hear the Lord? Do we want to know what the Lord is about and who the Lord is? I tell you what, you and I can never get to the end of who the Lord is and what the Lord is all about. It's a lifetime work, and we will never get there. But I tell you what, we indeed as his children are to pursue him. How about you? Are you here and saved? Do you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior? This man did not. You know, there's something about Jesus and something about that time. Well, some little bit that he had heard about the Lord that he wanted to see who he was for himself. Zacchaeus, make haste, get in a hurry, boy, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know what? The word of Jesus has come to Zacchaeus. He says, get on down here. What word of Jesus has come to you? I pray that the word of the Lord will come to you, to each and every one of us, and that we might hear and that we might know our Lord. For those that are here not saved, that the word of Jesus would come into you, that you need to make haste to and come to our Lord. The word of the Lord, the command of the Lord is at hand, isn't it? Come down. It's not a suggestion. Zacchaeus, if you want me to come over to your house today, get on down here. You know, that's what the Lord does, is he commands. The Lord doesn't request. You know what the Lord commands, and the scripture reveals in its most basic point and most basic sense that sinners are to do? Sinners are commanded by God Almighty, by our Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. To believe in our Lord's death and burial and resurrection, his gospel, his gift, for the thing that you desperately need but cannot do for yourself. Zacchaeus, he knows him by name. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Here, the Lord Jesus is referring to the place where Zacchaeus lives. But you know what? There's a greater application and understanding of that. All of us have houses. Oh, I'm not talking about where you live. I'm not talking about the structure. But as the scripture bears out unto us, we all have the house of our life. And what about the house of a life where Jesus does not abide? I tell you what, it's a life, it's a soul on a wandering sea, isn't it? a house of life where Jesus does not abide. He said, today I must abide at thy house. Yeah, it's going to be a blessing for Zacchaeus to have the Lord there at his place. But you know what? What's going to be sweeter is for the Lord to abide in his soul, in his heart, to abide within him. We have the houses of our families, our homes. And what home is there that is helped and is blessed without the Lord Jesus being the center of that house? I tell you what, a family without the Lord Jesus in the midst is a family that is, again, just wandering about trying to do the best that they can. But there's no help like there is with the Lord. There's no guidance and no instruction like there is with the Lord. There's no help and blessing like there is with the Lord. Can you imagine a family? Can you imagine a home where the parents don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to declare that into their children, that their children might be rescued and might be saved? I tell you what, that's sad, isn't it? But it abounds in our nation. Houses, homes, families where Jesus doesn't abide. And then we have the third house that the scripture bears out unto us, and that is the house of the Lord's churches. I tell you what, the Lord Jesus has promised to abide with his churches. As long as his churches are faithful to follow and obey him. We saw in the book of the Revelation in chapter 2 and chapter 3 that there's some threat by the Lord that he wouldn't abide any longer in that church capacity with those that are wayward. Matter of fact, that church at Laodicea, he was not abiding in the house. He was outside the house, wasn't he? Knocking. Desiring to fellowship. Can you see that picture of the Lord knocking outside of the house, looking to fellowship with those who are within? Zacchaeus, make haste. Hurry up, boy. Come on down. For today I must abide at thy house to command the word of the Lord. And he made haste. You know what? He was obedient and came down. And look at this. And received the Lord Jesus joyfully. He said, yes, sounds good. There are those that are in this strait, and I speak as a man on this human side, on this life side that we live on, that there are many that are posed with this need of Christ and this need of the forgiveness of their sins and this need of Jesus as Savior. And it's presented unto them and declared unto them, and the command of the Lord goes out unto them, and they say, just don't know. Got too much to give up. Too much fun to be had to give up. Too much of what I like and what I'm settled with and the way that I want to go to give up. I don't know. I just don't believe I want Jesus to abide with me. This man was joyful. This man rejoiced in desiring to know who he is, who he was, and the Lord took time and was compassionate to call him by name and say, let's go to your house. I'm going to abide today at your place. He made haste. He came down. He received him joyfully. And when they saw it, that of the multitude, remember, they're there at hand as the Lord Jesus speaks to this man in the sycamore tree, and he comes down. When the multitude, yeah, those people there at Jericho that had been taxed by Zacchaeus, them, they don't give a lick about this man. They don't care about this man. They just wish that this man would just disappear. When Jesus called this man to come down from that tree and saying that he declared that he would abide at his house, when they saw it, they all murmured against the Lord Jesus and what he had done and what he had said, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. I tell you what, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be opposition to mercy in there. There's always going to be opposition to the graciousness of the Lord. There's always going to be opposition to the compassion of the Lord. But you know what? Sinners that are without Christ are no more or no less unsaved than any other. And the station of their life means nothing to the need of their soul. With God, there is no respecter of persons. Whether this man was the poorest and the worst in the gutter, or the most religious person that has ever has been, or a tax collector that had sold out his nation to do the bidding of Rome, this man's soul yet needed to be saved. So, they murmur against our Lord that he's going to go be a guest with a man that is a sinner. But you know, that's what Jesus said he came to seek and to save. Amen. That which is lost. He said, the healthy, they don't need. The self-righteous, they don't need me. But I came to heal those who are sick. Those who are in sins and need a Savior. Those who will see and receive and believe about their condition and about their need of me. And Zacchaeus, verse number 8, stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. What's going on there? I tell you what, this man's been changed, hadn't he? Amen. This man's been visited by the Lord. This man has been caused to understand about what the Lord is meaning by abiding at his house. This man has believed. This man has been saved by the Lord. This man is repentant. This man is seeking, not to the extent that the Lord is gracious and merciful to sinners, but this man seeks to be like his Lord and his Savior. Lord, did you see how he called him that? He didn't call him Jesus. He didn't call him God, and he is. But he called him Lord. He calls him Master. He calls him Rabbi, my Lord, my teacher, my Savior. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. It's done. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You know, I think the case with Zacchaeus was that he was an honest man. At his level, I believe that he was. But he makes it clear unto the people that murmured against the Lord having to do with him that if I have done so, he didn't say those that I have extorted, I restore full fourfold. But he says, if I give the half of my goods to the poor, and if I've extorted anybody, I'll repay it like the law says that I should. I'll give the maximum of what the law says that I should restore it. I restore him fourfold. This man is honest, isn't he? This man is repentance. And this man has been set free by the Lord Jesus, hadn't he? He is at liberty. He gives the maximum that the law requires for restitution, as we understand it. And Jesus said unto him, verse number 9, this day is salvation. Remember what Zacchaeus desired? He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he's found out, hadn't he? I tell you what, just in moments, this man's life's been changed. In moments, this man has been saved. In moments, he has seen who this Jesus of Nazareth is. And I tell you what, he loves him. And he knows that the Lord knows him by name. See, it's a big difference to say, hey, you, or for you to be called by your name. And he knows him by name, doesn't he? And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Jesus is saying this looking at Zacchaeus. Not declaring it to the multitude, but he says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. This man and the house of his life, this man and his household. You reckon Zacchaeus followed the Lord Jesus from here on out? Wonder. Many did. Why wouldn't Zacchaeus become a member of the Lord's church? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? This day of salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. He's a Jew. Yes, he's a tax collector. And yes, he is taking the side in his work and his occupation with the Romans, which is despised by the Jews. But you know what? He is a Jew. Not worthy of salvation, but that unto whom the Lord Jesus Christ was first sent. Brother Bobby read it this morning, the prophecy, the telling of the rejoicing of Brother Simeon there in the temple, that the Lord has come to be a Savior even unto the Gentiles. But Zacchaeus is a Jew, and he needs salvation too. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I know thee by name. The call to abide in Christ. Jesus says unto Zacchaeus in verse number 5, I must abide at thy house. And we've talked about those different kinds of houses. I want us to take a look over here in John chapter 15. The Lord speaks more about abiding. It's not a word that you and I use in these days. It's not typical for us to use that word. Maybe we kind of use that word abide to talk maybe more about patience or waiting in that. And then there is an element of that is there. But this word is talking about living in. Like we live in our abodes. Sinners need to be saved. Because there's only help and there's only hope and there's only life in Christ. Without Christ, there's only death. But I tell you what, there's full life and blessed life in Christ here and in the life to come. Jesus is dealing with his disciples here in John chapter 15. And in verse number 1, listen to the picture that the Lord Jesus paints about you and me and himself. In this subject of abiding in him. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You see that picture? There's a vineyard. Jesus is that vine, and the Heavenly Father is the one that goes around tending to the vineyard, if you will. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every man has physical life from the Lord, man, woman, boy, and girl. You have your life not because of yourself, not because of your parents, but the Lord. We're talking about physical life. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here we have some branches in the vine. Some don't bear fruit, and you know what? They're removed. And other branches are there in this vine, and they bring forth fruit. But, you know, sometimes they get cut back. Why? That they might bear more fruit, that they might bear greater fruit. Now ye are clean, speaking to his disciples there, through the word which I have spoken unto you. See, the word of the Lord Jesus and his command is life indeed unto us. You push away. You turn the shoulder away from the word and the command of the Lord Jesus, it will be to your doom. It will be to our destruction. But I tell you what, there's purity in the word that the Lord speaks. There's blessing and help. What's he say? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. He said, you've been saved. Live in me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. See, there was no other help for Zacchaeus. There was no other one that could come by or come to his house that could have made a difference other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God, the Lord Jesus came by and knows him by name and called him. I pray that he will call you. I pray that you will hear him from his word. You are the vine and I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Hear the need that we have. Zacchaeus, make haste, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Yeah, that's the end. That's the end of those that don't have Christ abiding in them. And the Lord even declares this unto his children who are saved. Understand, our Lord is here at the end before he goes to the cross of Calvary, before he's betrayed even that night. He declares that there's two kind of people. There's those that are saved and those that are unsaved. And the fruitless are cut loose and going to be burned. Listen, hell and the lake of fire is a reality. And it's a reality for the unrepentant. For those that do not hear and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as he's commanded. That don't see the sinners that they are and the weight of the judgment of their sin that abides upon them. Without Christ, you're a withered branch. Oh, you may have everything of life going for you. But I tell you what, it's all going to come to an end. You're a withered branch without Christ. But with Christ, you can have life. And we have life. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I tell you what, our relationship with our Lord is greater than just being a rescued servant. We are the Lord's servants, but I tell you what, we're the Lord's children too. I tell you what, there's only room for children in the house of the Lord. And I'm not talking about his church necessarily. I'm talking about his family. There's only room for children. There's not room for the unrepentant and the disobedient. There's only room for the children. But you know what? As a brother brought out this morning, salvation is free. Sin's got a payday, and it will be paid by the Lord. But salvation is a gift and is free, free indeed. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so the disciples of the Lord are admonished, abide in Christ continually. Zacchaeus, make haste. I tell you what, we need to make haste and draw near to our Lord. We need to make haste and hear him and take his good word and apply it to our lives. Well, we need to pursue and have a desire and a diligence to bear more fruit that our Father, our Savior, be glorified. You know what? A dried up branch can't do that. Zacchaeus, I know thee by name. Zacchaeus, a call to abide in Christ.